this first hour on Wib and Wib.com, we've got a friend, Leanne Gumalauskas. She is a Christian counselor, and I heard her speak at Dory Pulse's Step Family Conference recently, and she did a great job sharing on the subject we've asked her to come and talk to us about today, and that is the riding the roller coaster of step parenting. Leanne Gumalauskas from the Clinic for Christian Counseling in Eau Claire, our guest this hour, and she's like family. We say WWIB, we're family, and this is in the true sense, in the sense that her dad, Greg Smith, back in the day, was our sales manager here at WWIB. And of course, her mom is a good friend of ours. Kathy has worked here as well. So, Leanne, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right. Like coming home, right?
Right. In many ways, yes.
Terrific. And this issue of step families, when Dory Pulse was with us from stepfamilyrx.com, and you and I both enjoyed being at that terrific conference they
Very
had
much.
In April. Dory does a great job with that. And, you know, it wasn't just for step family. I think families in general mm-hmm. would have been benefited quite a bit, the information there. And Dory made the comment on it. She said, you know, step families are more common than intact nuclear families. And so I just feel like in our churches and in Christian media, we need to continue to do more to minister to those in the very difficult terrain, but it's the realistic terrain where many find themselves mm-hmm. in terms of step families, right?
Absolutely, 100% right. This is, step families are so common, but most marriage and family material that's available out there is geared toward the biological family, which there are still many, many, many useful things. As you said, biological families would have benefited from hearing information at the Step Family Conference, and then vice versa. Step families benefit from the same information that's available to biological families. However, there are some unique dynamics to step families that biological families don't have and don't need to navigate that that make it challenging and isn't necessarily applicable across the board to all families. And so from a Christian perspective, there is a lot of work still that needs to be done, I think, in sort of destigmatizing, if I can uh-huh. say it like that, step families in churches and in our communities, where I think a lot of churches, we don't know yet what to do with a step family. Some of those unique dynamics, there aren't as many resources for them. And so there's a big challenge and we don't really know what to do with them. And so a lot just doesn't happen.
You called your talk that day riding the roller coaster of step parenting. And
right.
So that was intentional. So high highs and low lows?
High highs, low lows, uncertainty in between. It's a really enjoyable ride, but you're not always sure what the route is that you're going to take. And so it's not as clear cut all the time, and as we find out with most relationships, right, that they're not as simple and clear cut as we might imagine. But step parenting, it is my first. I am in a step family now, and I never anticipated myself being there. It's a new experience for me, and so because of that, there's a lot of learning that I need to do.
Uh-huh. Dory emphasizes a lot in even in her book on the subject, and people can learn more at her website, stepfamilyrx.com. She's mm-hmm. a good friend of both of ours. But the idea of, people marry someone and you get married for that person. But when you marry them and they have children, I mean, that is, you know, Kevin Lehman's book was Living in a Step Family Without Getting Stepped On. So, I mean, it is challenging and tricky terrain to be navigated. So
it is challenging. It's, when you think of a biological family, the parent, the husband, wife are there first. They establish uh-huh. the family, the foundation. And from that, the kids enter in to that dynamic that's already existed. With a step family, here you have a spouse that's entering into a family dynamic that already exists. And yet they are supposed to be part of the leadership team that leads this family. But that dynamic, that family was not established with their input and with them being present. And so it leads to a lot of changing and shifting and how do you do that in a way where everybody feels loved, everybody feels safe, everybody feels accepted and valuable? It's not a simple thing.
So we're going to walk through this with Leanne Gumalauskas, counselor for the Clinic for Christian Counseling, this hour, riding the roller coaster of step parenting. We'll dialogue here on the radio about her talk. And then later, especially after 10:30, as we move along, we invite your questions and comments along the way. Challenges, issues you're facing as you navigate the relationships in a step family. But I guess, are there terms we need to define here up front in terms of the relational roles of a step parent? Or
you bet. So what I shared at Step Family RX conference came from the perspective of a step parent, that they wear several different hats in the family, and depending on which member of the family they are engaged with in that moment, they may have to wear a different hat. They are a spouse, they are a step parent, and they may also be a biological parent. They have their own biological children. And so how they interact with their spouse is going to be different than how they interact with their biological children, which is going to be different than how they interact with their stepchildren, because those relationship dynamics are all different. That's just what's under the same roof. And then you branch out from there, and you have parents and step-in-laws and in-laws and siblings and step-siblings and in-laws, you know, brothers-in-laws and sisters. It expands. And so then the relational roles within the family can, become very complex very quickly, because everything is so different. Every relationship is so different.
And that's been made into, comedies in terms of, trying to visit the different families at Christmas and all that. But it's just that much, let's say you don't have four families to go to and just have two. That could be challenging enough.
Yes.
Much less all of that. So how do you navigate that? How do you work your way through what sounds like an obstacle course?
Yeah, it kind of is an obstacle course. And actually thinking about it that way can be helpful, although rather exhausting, I'll admit. It's really important. Some of the key things I've seen are that families find really helpful. And in my own personal life, I found these helpful too. Number one, being able to identify your emotions. And being able to say, this is how I feel. This is why I feel this way. And even being able to identify it to yourself or to God. Secondly, after that is communicating those in a healthy way. There's something really amazingly freeing. And I still can't quite put my finger on what it is, other than that's how I believe God wired us to work. But just being able to admit or recognize, this is how I'm feeling. There's a certain amount of pressure that comes off, and being able to recognize that within ourselves, and then being able to communicate it in a healthy way, to build into the relationship with whoever we're engaging with, rather than tearing down. We know communicating in unhealthy ways causes damage, but communicating in healthy ways can actually build relationships. After that, having some self-awareness and some self-care, recognizing, I need to be spending some social time with friends. Like, this is an area that's lacking for me that would help me be a healthy person. I'm going to do that. You know what? My spiritual life is challenging right now. I'm struggling with that. I need to get back in the Word or join a Bible study. What are the needs that you have in order to take care of yourself so you can be the healthiest possible in the midst of these families?
You can't give what you don't got, right?
You can't give what you don't got. If you're running on empty, there's nothing left to give. So that self, that taking care of self is really important. And then forgiveness. We'll spend a little bit of time talking about this later, but forgiveness is key. When we hold on to anger, bitterness, resentment, hurts, we only invite things that erode and eat away at our families, at our relationships in our family. And so us being able to come to a place where we can forgive the hurts is critical. And then let's not underestimate or leave off the power of prayer. Pray for your spouse, pray for your step-in-laws, pray for your stepkids, pray for your biological kids, pray. All those, maybe those more challenging relationships in your life. We often want to pull away and close ourselves off from them to protect ourselves potentially. But what if we were taking those relationships to the Lord instead? I've watched God in my own life, but in my clients' lives as well, turn things around, work miracles that we would have never expected or been able to do on our own through prayer. So it's crucial.
We're talking about riding the roller coaster of step parenting with Christian counselor Leanne Gumalowskis from the Clinic for Christian Counseling in Eau Claire here on Front Page. The full hour today on WWIB and wib.com. All right, so identifying the emotions, and there's what you call the big three.
Mm-hmm. Happy, sad, mad. Most of us know what those are. Our toddlers know what happy, sad, mad is. And so, but oftentimes our emotional awareness, if I can call it that, it gets stunted there. It stops there. I know I'm happy. I know I'm sad. I know I'm mad. Beyond that, I'm not sure. Well, there's actually in the English language, like hundreds, if not thousands of words to help describe feelings. And so being able to articulate, am I sad or am I hurt? And it's possible to feel more than one thing, but identifying that is so important. So being able to recognize the emotion is really, really important. I actually have a tool that I use. I usually use it with kids, but every now and then it comes in handy with adults, where I have pictures of jelly beans with facial expressions and then an emotion written underneath it. And I have them in a jar, then they're attached by, in a jar and a piece of paper. It's all on paper. And then they're attached by Velcro. And I have the kids, I look at that, at their options, and there's probably 20 different feelings on there, and pull off the ones that that they can say, yep, this is what I'm feeling. And I've never had a kid just pull off one feeling. I mean, there's almost always more than that. Occasionally, I've had people put as many 10 as 10, and adults usually don't need the hands-on part of it. We can look at a piece of paper and say, oh, I identify with this, this, and this, but being able to recognize these are the emotions that are going on inside me, and give it a label, and not change them, not try to do anything with it, but just acknowledge it, just name it. Being able to say, I feel tired, I feel overwhelmed, rather than sad or angry. I feel, which are perfectly valid emotions, but there's more than that. And then even being able to go one step further and being able to identify, why do I feel that way? What's going on that sadness is the emotion that's coming up for me? What's going on that that I feel so overwhelmed, or anxiety is there, or even fear? What's going on that this is what's coming? So I feel afraid because ... because we're not going to be financially secure. I feel afraid that my child's going to get sick, or whatever it might be. Let's name it. Let's identify it. Not try to change it yet, but just doing something with it. There's something about being able to identify it that reduces the intensity of it and makes it more manageable. Then you can start figuring out, okay, do I need to do something with this, or can I just be okay with acknowledging this is what's going on?
Leanne Gumalowskis, Christian counselor from the Clinic for Christian Counseling, here on Front Page on WWIB. We're talking this full hour about riding the roller coaster of step parenting. And, we've talked about some of these emotions, recognizing the big three, but, happy, sad, mad. But, what about that mad one? And what about anger? Yeah, dealing with our anger. Need to do that. You don't want it spilling out on other people. So, Ride of Life, WWIB, Front Page. More coming up. Wheels of life are turning. I feel I'm rolling down this track. And I know down deep inside my heart I can't look back. No, it's a heart discerning. All of the fiction from the fact. You led me to this truth and we have as we go through highs and lows and all that's in between, it's good to know we're not alone on this big screen machine. Cause this roller coaster ride of life lifts you up and lets you down. This roller coaster ride of life spins you round and round and around. Heaven knows wherever you go.
The Serta truckload sale is on at Bush and Gillis. Mattresses start at only $129 with 12 months interest-free to qualified buyers and free disposal of your old set. Sleep great on a new Serta from Bush and Gillis Furniture, Cameron, Ladysmith, and Spooner.
For a free sound system analysis for your church or school, call Speed of Sound at 839-8021. Looking for meal ideas that are easy and healthy? Ask me. I'm Emily, a registered dietitian with Festival Foods and part of the Eat Well team. You can email us nutrition questions anytime at eatwell.festfoods.com and listen for me each month during the morning show on WWIB.
Why not have a song as our bumper music this hour from a group from the past that talks about the roller coaster ride of life in general as we talk about riding the roller coaster of step parenting. Christian counselor Leanne Gumalowskis from the Clinic for Christian Counseling, and you're part of a great team of counselors over there, right?
Yes, we
give a shout out to them.
Shout out to them. They are amazing. I work with really fantastic people, and they're great at what they do, and I'm very proud of the clinic I work for and the people I work with and the work that we do there. It's a very caring place. And so, yeah, I have seven or eight coworkers. And so, yeah, if you have any needs or you know anybody that could benefit from some counseling, our clinic sees kids all the way up through elderly. So we will cover the range of. We cover the range.
I can give the number here. I think 715-832-1678.
That's it.
Office number 832-1678 or toll free 877-855-0936. 877-855-0936. The Clinic for Christian Counseling and in downtown Eau Claire.
And you may want to check out our website. It covers all the issues that we deal with, and you can also read bios on the different therapists that work there and be able to identify, you know, who might be a good fit for you. So
CCWI.org.
Three C's. Okay. CCCWI.org.
See, my eyes are needing some help. I couldn't tell if that was two or three. All right, very good. 3CWI.org for the Clinic for Christian Counseling. All right. As we jump back into our conversation here, on the roller coaster of step parenting, talking about these emotions you're feeling, the big challenge, it seems like, is, right? I mean, not everybody gets along like the Brady Bunch, if I can invoke that show from days gone by. But I mean, the idea of the husband relating to her kids, the wife relating to his kids, right? I mean, that's the big, and we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. But we're talking about emotions, and you said something at this Step Family RX conference I agree with that. We said the big three of emotions, happy, sad, mad, but you break down mad, you said anger is a secondary emotion.
Yes.
And we don't mean to disrespect it by saying
absolutely
that.
Absolutely not. No, anger is valuable.
Sometimes people disagree with me on that. So.
Yeah, no, as a therapist perspective, anger is a really valuable emotion, just as all of them are. Our feelings aren't the end of the story. Our feelings are an indicator. They're like the warning light on a dashboard or something like that. And not even always in a negative way, but just letting you know, hey, there's something going on here and depending on the emotion, it may need a little more attention. Anger is one of those that usually needs some more attention. Sometimes it's completely righteous and justified to experience anger. And I'm so grateful that God in his wisdom included, Jesus's own demonstration of anger in scripture to show us that. However, anger oftentimes is not the only emotion that we're feeling. Oftentimes we feel something else first and then we feel angry. There's something kind of empowering about feeling angry that makes us feel like, okay, now I can do something. I have some control here, where often underneath anger might be something more like hurt, disappointment.
I've kind of thought about it in this political campaign. We've seen so much about the anger that's been driving it, but like for all of these Americans on the left or the right politically, what's underneath that, right?
Right, exactly. What is underneath it? Is it fear? Is it sadness?
Gary Smalley talked about fear, frustration, hurt feelings, and those are pretty good.
Those are very good. Yep, they are. And so, so when we feel angry, that's a great opportunity to kind of take a step back and think: am I feeling anything else? Is there anything else underneath this? Where's the anger coming from?
And there's a real temptation, right, Leanne Gumalowskis, to put the onus on the other person. But I think you probably call people like. No, you need to take responsibility. Cloud and Townsend, one of the most recognized lines from their book, Boundaries, is nobody can make you feel a certain way. They're your feelings.
Right.
So
that's right. There are feelings, and our feelings come usually as a response to something. And it might be something somebody says, but even in that, there's a message that we're receiving from that. So when somebody else has actions or words that trigger anger response in us, a really good question, one of my favorites to ask, is what message am I getting about me from this? So when we have a child at home that's disrespectful to us, or, you know, yells or throws or refuses to obey or whatever in that moment, and we get angry, what's the message mm-hmm. that we're getting about us from that? I don't care about you. I'm going to do what I want no matter what you say. So what you say doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, all these, there's something about us that we're getting from that anger, it might be the reaction. The other thing is maybe it's hurt. You know, somebody said something that hurt my feelings. Therefore, I now feel angry because I'm angry with them, I can protect myself, I can put mm-hmm. walls up, I can back away, and I don't have to feel vulnerable. And so being able to identify what other feelings are there associated with that anger could be really empowering.
And I think we all are in relation continually, both vertically with God and horizontally with others. And so mm-hmm. we want to always be growing in our relationship with God, but
right.
we live out life on the horizontal. So I don't know about you, but for me, in marriage and parenting and work, God has thankfully done a lot to drive me close. The hard stuff drives you closer to Him, and then you hopefully grow in terms of your ability. So I'll just tell myself last night, mm-hmm. we were just beginning a Teamwork Africa prayer call, and I was in the kitchen, and the new executive director of Teamwork Africa, Dale McCauley, pastor from Quad Cities, Illinois, he said, Mark, why don't you lead us out? And I just started, and one of my children, one came into the kitchen and made kind of a loud banging noise. And I felt like internally, I started to get upset. Okay, I'm just like, hold it, I'm on the phone. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't know it's a prayer call. And you just came in and were really loud.
Yeah.
So thankfully, in less mature times, I might have reacted horizontally, which would have been, but it stayed internal. Mm-hmm. I walked out of the room. But I mean, it's just one example, right?
One example.
Of the battle.
Yeah.
But a great book people need to be aware of on this is Dan Allender, The Cry of the Soul, and how our emotions reveal our deepest questions about God. And he does a great job in there in terms of saying, you think that your emotions tell all about you on the horizontal. No, first and foremost, it's about you and God.
Bingo.
So.
Exactly. So when we receive those messages about us, we need to take those and hold them up to Scripture and take those back to the Lord. And get from Him what we need, then we can actually deal with the disobedience or the disrespectful behavior or whatever's going on that triggered it appropriately. But it's not about us in that moment anymore because
yeah.
we've dealt with it with the Lord, and God is, okay, you're secure in me. You don't need to worry about, you know, you're a respectable person because I respect you. You are lovable because I love you. You matter because I say you matter.
Mm.
And now we no longer need our children or whoever's
yeah.
behavior to prove that to us.
Right.
That is a difficult process. If we, once you start it and you learn how to do that, it's actually really fun because you enjoy the benefits that come from the other side. But getting that started is a challenge. And that is something that, that reading some helpful resources like the one you just mentioned,
Cry of the Soul, Dan Allender.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And attending some counseling can really mm-hmm. benefit that. You know, a huge percentage of what I do with my clients is helping them figure out, what am I feeling? Hmm. Why am I feeling that way? And what am I going to do about it? So,
can you think of a situation, whether for you personally, Leanne mm-hmm. Gumalowskis, or someone you've worked with has been helped by this process of identifying and then communicating their emotions, or if not an example in terms of what do we further need to know? Cause I think
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So, in my own life, you know, when we have conflict about challenging topics, if we can learn.
So just for starters, I mean, just in the church and in Christian media, can we just admit like conflict is real? I mean,
right.
No, we act like it needs to be a conflict. No, there's never conflict.
Right.
No.
Or, you know, all good, if you're a good Christian or if you believe what God says enough, then you won't have conflict. And it's just unrealistic and actually not even scriptural. But actually, Jesus says the opposite, like you're going to have trouble. So what it comes down to is not the absence of, but navigating it in a healthy way so that we build into our relationships and our families and even in our relationship with God, as you've mentioned, or the opposite is going to happen where there will actually be destruction there. And we know that we feel it. So, you know, when the dynamic that's happening between you and your family member is a positive one that's going to lead to better things or a negative one that's going to take stuff out. You know it. And so being able to say, here's how I feel, this is why I feel this way, taking that to the Lord first, coming back and being able to communicate that in a healthy way, it helps us navigate conflict. And in my own marriage, in my own relationships with my children, learning to communicate what I feel, why I feel that way in a respectful way, paves the way for fewer arguments, fewer defenses, and to some healthy resolution. The other thing it does is it teaches my children how to communicate that way too. And so I'm doing some modeling by doing that myself, but in turn, I can turn around and when they aren't communicating in a respectful or loving way or in some other unhealthy form, I can say to them, okay, remember, here's how we do this in our home. This is what's healthy for us. And so they get to learn that as well. So once we have an idea of how we feel and why we feel that way, when we are, and we've gone to God about it, he's dealt with us and we've dealt with him in our own personal hangups, we can, now it's time to bring that to the family member that we need to resolve this with or navigate whatever it is. An awesome statement to use is, I feel blank when you blank because blank. So I feel afraid when you don't call me when you said you were going to, because I'm afraid you're, you know, sick or injured or whatever. And so rather than flying off the handle when we don't get that phone call as promised, we can articulate it that way. I'm taking ownership for my emotions and my own responses.
Pointing and accusing.
Accusing. Right. I feel blank because, or when you do this. And then in essence, we're opening up the conversation. Now that person may or may not choose to do anything differently, but we're opening the conversation for that change to happen.
So that principle, whether again, in a step family marriage or any marriage, or again, as you relate to the kids in a blended family, step family situation, but boy, I would just think that developing that base of relationship is really key too.
Very key. And it's
the foundation of it.
The foundation of it is really, really important. So
we're going to take a break and we're going to talk more about that. And a big heart of this talk from Leanne Gumalowskis, Christian counselor from the Clinic for Christian Counseling in downtown Eau Claire, is the why and how of forgiveness. And so a lot of that may be from previous relationship situations, but obviously is always necessary in any family, okay? I like what my friend Matt said at this conference, and he talked about, hey, we need mercy and grace every day, right? Grace and forgiveness every day in our household. All right, it's Front Page, the roller coaster ride of step-parenting this hour on WWIBNWIB.com.
Running a business means making every hour of every day count. DCS NetLink offers the solution, the Google Calendar app. With Google Calendar, you can share project calendars among team members, make appointment scheduling easier, and even send invites and manage RSVPs. Plus, you can access it from any web-enabled device. DCS NetLink can even schedule sessions to teach your staff all about it. Get the solution to making every hour count. See DCSNetLink.com.
Spring is here at Down to Earth Garden Center, and they're bursting at the seams with everything to make your garden and outdoor space, well, perfect. Add a pop of color with Down to Earth's assortment of porch pots and hanging baskets. Grab a drink from the cafe and take a stroll outside to check out the huge selection of Down to Earth grown annuals, perennials, herbs, veggies, and more. Like them on Facebook for weekly specials. Down to Earth Garden Center, Highway 93, Eau Claire. Family owned, locally grown. Experience the difference.
To a
Hold on to the Lord, all right? Draw close to God, and he'll draw close to you, it says in the book of James, during this roller coaster ride of life. Front page, riding the roller coaster of step parenting this hour as we continue our conversation with Christian counselor Leanne Gumulauskas from, I think your last name is fun to say, by the way.
It is fun.
I know your friends call you Gummy, right?
Right.
I've heard that. Okay. Anyhow, 723-255-55 if you have questions or comments, 1-800-657-4769, email mark@wib.com. Marco, the locally owned print technology company we trust to help us with our bottom line. And are you looking to continue your lifestyle of generosity while saving for retirement? Well, then you need to visit with Kathy Jensen, a local Thrivent financial representative. She'll show you how. All right, we're talking with Leanne about step families navigating this. And you said earlier that we're going to get more into the why and how of forgiveness. Anything else you want to touch on before we jump more into that?
I just want one aspect about step families that makes building, you know, before the break, you mentioned how important the foundation of relationship is. And it is really important. And this is what makes step families a little bit different than biological families, because how relationships form are a little bit different, where when two adults get married, they don't have children yet. And they bring a child into the marriage, whether through adoption or through their, you know, through natural birth or whatever, they build a relationship with that child from day one of that child's life through feeding it, caring for it, sleeping with it, taking care of it when it's sick, things like that. Like all these things that build attachments, that build relationship, even before words are really exchanged. And so there's a whole, by the time the child is walking, talking, and having some of their own opinions and ideas, there's already a foundation of safety and understanding and relationship established. So with a step family, It is that way of building relationship with the child in the family home is different, because in my case, I married my husband, Mike, when my stepdaughter, Mackenzie, she had just turned 10. And so building a relationship with a 10-year-old is way different than building a relationship with an infant.
Sure.
And so she's now 12 and I love her to death. She's a fantastic kid. But just like any other family, we aren't without our challenges. And the way I build relationship with her looks different than the way you would build a relationship with an infant or you know, somebody else along those lines. And so allowing time and also being intentional about building into that foundation when it comes to step-parent, step-child relationships is really, really important. And one resource, I won't spend too much more time on that, but one resource, if that's something that's really interesting to any of our listeners, Ron Deal has written a great book called The Smart Step Family, which is just...
It's a must read. If you're in a step family, it's a must read. He's been a guest on this show. He's been on Focus on the Family. He's top notch.
He's absolutely top notch. He totally gets it. And there's so much that helps you understand, oh, here's what's going on in my family now. Here's where we're headed. Here's how to get there. And so in that way, it's very hopeful. And in a place where you don't know often how to navigate what's going on, it helps kind of give you a bit of a map. And so
I just want to say real quick,
really helpful.
I love the KISS principle. Keep it super simple. Mm-hmm. That's how I say it. That's a little kinder than the other way somebody said it. But I think that to me, what kids need, doesn't matter what family you're raising them in, single parent, whatever, is they need unconditional love and discipline. So the challenge for me, I would see for somebody who's a step parent is, you know, wow, you get introduced, you know, you begin 10 years of life already. So, you know, you've got to express, you've got to build up some love foundation of unconditionally loving this child.
Right.
And for people who jump in with, well, I'm going to be a disciplined person too. I'm like, yeah, but only to, you know, Jesus came in grace and truth. I mean, you got to be really have that love foundation laid.
That's right.
And out of that, and only out of that, will the discipline have any place.
Exactly. Well said. The discipline is only effective when it's coming out of a loving foundation.
Intense love, right?
Intense love.
And so that's going to take some time.
It takes time.
Yeah.
So part of that is what we talked, what's already been mentioned is the importance of forgiveness. There's a couple reasons for this. One is the biggest one is it's biblical. If we are followers of Christ, then Jesus doesn't ask anything else of us than to forgive. He doesn't say, go ahead and hold resentments if it's regarding to this issue. He doesn't say bitterness is okay if the other person is unrepentant. No, there's no conditions on that. Why? Because we have been forgiven much. Mm-hmm. We ourselves have been forgiven and we need to pass it on. Colossians 2:13-14. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. That is for me. If I receive that gift, that is for me. My sin, my wrongdoing, my trespasses are gone, are taken out of the equation when it comes to me, relationship with God, because of what Jesus has done for me, because of his death and resurrection. Therefore, I am now instructed by him to hand off that same gift to other people. It's sometimes we find it is easier to forgive people we aren't in very close relationship with. It is harder to forgive those that live under our own roof because we trust them more, we're more vulnerable with them, things like that. The hurts go deeper. So exercising forgiveness within our own home is really, really important. Ron Deal says, forgiveness is an unnatural act of a will that has been shaped and molded by a forgiving God. There is nothing human about it. Forgiveness doesn't restore the broken relationship or repair the emotional damage done. It simply writes it off. And it only becomes practically possible to us when we realize that God has forgiven us. Be humbled by the magnitude of your forgiven debt, and you'll discover that the unnatural act of forgiving is possible. With Christ, we can forgive because we have been forgiven much. And so, but recognizing there's a supernatural component to that, I think is really important because we're not relying on our own willpower. We're not relying on our own, you know, fortitude to, I'm going to forgive. It's nope, this is something I get to receive and then hand off to somebody else.
That's important. And I think, to me, the elephant in the room here, talking to Leanne Gumalowskis, Christian counselor from the Clinic for Christian Counseling on Front Page, about the roller coaster of step parenting. Your questions and comments, welcome at 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769, or email mark@wib.com, or you can text Halva to 77000. The elephant in the room is that in a new family, a blended family, a step family, however people have got there and there's already kids involved, mm-hmm. is the unforgiveness from the past. I mean, yes, mm-hmm. in that relationship, in that dynamic, and my friend who got married and he went from having two kids of his own to now seven kids in that family.
Right.
I mean, there is going to be situations every day that forgiveness is needed.
Sure.
But I thought at the Step Family RX conference we need to tell this on the air more. Angela and Chris did a great job of telling the story that from Chris's previous marriage, there was forgiveness that needed to happen between him and his previous spouse. Mm-hmm. And when that did happen, to the point that Angela even said, I support you going to counseling with her, mm-hmm. That was going to be healing in that new marriage, right?
Absolutely.
And so we got to deal with that stuff we've buried.
Yep. 100% agree. My husband has done a really good job of building relationship with my stepdaughter's mom.
Way to go, Mike.
Yeah. They haven't been together for many years, long before I entered the picture, but they fought really hard to develop a positive relationship for the benefit of my stepdaughter. And so, honestly, I am the blessed recipient
beneficiary
of that relationship being a positive one. I also can have a positive relationship with my stepdaughter's mom.
There's a lot of ugly stories out there of that not being the case, right?
Right. Yeah. And so that would have created added challenging dynamics had my husband not already done that legwork and paved that road long ago, long before I came. But I am the blessed one that my stepdaughter's birthday parties, they're all together. It's my husband and his family. It's my family. It's my my stepdaughter's mother and her family and everybody together. And it's happy and we all get along and we appreciate each other. It is a positive relationship.
You've buried the axe, but not in each other. So thank God for that. So.
Yes. And I didn't have anything to do with that, but I am blessed by it. And
thank you, God.
Thank you, God. Yeah.
But what about for those who are out there right now, Leanne? Tough question. And they're like, well, that's great for you.
Right.
But that's not my present reality. What do you tell them?
Hard
work ahead.
Hard work ahead. The classic counselor to answer to all these scenarios is it depends. And so, so something really important to remember about forgiveness is forgiveness and trust are not the same thing. So just because we enter into forgiveness, but trust needs to be earned and rebuilt. And so oftentimes we equate those in our minds. If I'm going to forgive somebody, then that means I have to trust them again. No, it doesn't. So forgiveness is it takes one. Forgiveness is our own to deal with before the Lord and maybe to express to another person if we're so led to do so. But trust and reconciliation, that takes two. And so so you can forgive. We can forgive people who have hurt us and they still are no longer a part of our lives. We can forgive people who have passed away, who we can't have reconciliation with. But we can enter into forgiveness toward that person. So forgiveness begins with a decision. We can choose to forgive one offense at a time. Oftentimes, if there's a long history or a lot of hurt, it can be really difficult very overwhelming, I guess is the word I'm looking for, to try to think about even forgiving them because there's just so much. Just do one thing at a time. Then communicating forgiveness isn't always necessary. That's an optional thing. Forgiveness and accountability are not mutually exclusive. So oftentimes they do need to go together. That, again, depends on the circumstances. Forgiveness, again, takes one. Trust and reconciliation takes two. And then we are the ones that are empowered by forgiving because we no longer carry around that debt that we're owed. We get to let that go and we are the ones freed up.
And again, Leanne, it's great stuff there. It's only to the extent we recognize how much we've been forgiven that we'll be able to forgive. Again, the wonderful words of Jesus that he or she who's forgiven much loves much. Mm-hmm. And everybody's been forgiven much, but we've got to realize it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's only to that degree you realize that you'll be empowered to forgive.
That's right. And that's spiritual work. That's where we sit before the Lord and need to say, if I'm having a hard time forgiving, there's also most likely a spiritual issue going on that I need to sit before God and say, okay, God, if I'm having a hard time forgiving, I'm probably picking up some kind of pride here that I don't need to be forgiven as much and make me aware of that. What's going on there? What's the barrier?
Mm-hmm. Just some of your, instruction here about forgiveness and, to what degree will you trust that other person?
Mm-hmm.
It calls to mind Remy Diedrich. He's the pastor from Cedarbrook Church in Menominee. Great man of God. And he's written three different books. I'm looking at him here. We've talked to him in the past about healing the hurts of your past, a guide to overcoming the pain of shame. But the one that particularly some of your remarks about forgiveness and drawing the boundary lines, his book stuck. And we spent, I think, 6 weeks, six consecutive Thursdays here a few years back talking with him about Stuck, How to Overcome Your Anger and Reclaim Your Life. And besides being a pastor at Cedarbrook for many years, I don't know if he still does, Remy spoke regularly at the Arbor Place Treatment Center in
Excellent.
Menominee. And in that book, I know he gives wonderful example of six different places where you might set the boundary with somebody that mm-hmm. you've needed to forgive in your past. So it's really good if you're looking for something on that. Again, Stuck by Remy Diedrich. Recommend it. So, yeah, we're... Now, if you don't read, we've given you a lot of resource recommendations, but we've got one more segment. I'd love to hear from some listeners. Come on now. If you're in a step family, what's your situation? What's your challenge? What's your problem? What's your difficulty? What's your question? 723-2555 in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls, 1-800-657-4769. Email mark@wib.com. If you want to be anonymous, you can. You can also text your question to Halvo at 77000. One more segment with Leanne Gumalauskas, a Christian counselor from the Clinic for Christian Counseling, on riding the roller coaster of step-parenting this hour on WIB and WIB.com. We'll get a podcast up this afternoon at the website.
Who's there?
I'm that little voice in your head that reminds you of important things.
Okay, what do you want?
You need to use your Shop Your Way surprise points at Sears before they expire.
I forgot all about those.
I know. Members get free surprise points toward their favorite purchases in-store or online. Check your account at ShopYourWay.com, then use points on anything you want. Sandals, patio furniture, maybe a new jacket for spring.
Where is my jacket?
Cleaners, ready on Thursday.
Surprise points are valid until May 25th. Amount of points awarded based on membership status and other factors. Ask to redeem your points at checkout. Exclusions apply. Go to ShopYourWay.com for details.
You can get your IRA or 401k delivered to your home in the form of physical gold and silver coins. Augusta Precious Metals is the leader in home delivery gold IRAs. You get free shipping, free insurance, and no professional management fees. Call 855-858-5807 now for your free guide to Augusta Home Delivery Gold IRAs. Call Augusta Precious Metals at 855-858-5807. That's 855-858-5807. Trust Augusta.
The kicks just keep coming and Mega Holiday. We're talking four new flavors of Kickstart by Mountain Dew. There's Midnight Grape, Watermelon, or how about Blood Orange, or Blueberry Pomegranate. Mix and match any of your favorite Kickstarts for only 99 cents. So kick it into high gear and head to Mega Holiday for Kickstart. Grab an old favorite, or try a new one like Midnight Grape, Watermelon, Blood Orange, or Blueberry Pomegranate. Because any Kickstart is only 99 cents, only for a limited time, and only at Mega Holiday.
Front page, WWIB. Well, we asked for your questions and comments for Christian Counselor Leanne Gumulauskas, and I just got one from a gentleman who didn't want to go on the air. Respect that. I said, if you want to communicate with us anonymous, you can. You can email mark@wib.com. Here we can get it in the next 9 minutes. But Leanne, here was his question. Frustrations, you know, marriages may end. Mm-hmm. People may move on. New families, step families, but frustrated. This is probably a common question. Frustrated with his ex-wife, mm-hmm. and the way that he says he feels like she drives the kids away from the Lord. Mm. And his, I think, 18-year-old daughter communicates the fact that is upset that at your house, Dad, you won't let me sleep with my boyfriend, and mm-hmm. is upset with that. So
sure.
There's the problem.
It's when we, one of the really hard parts about step-family life is that we only have control over what happens in our own homes. We don't have control over what happens in our ex's houses.
Or a lot of frustration there, and that's where that anger can come.
And that's where that anger comes, and we feel like it's really detrimental. My encouragement would be trying to have as much as possible to have a positive relationship with the ex-spouse. That way your concerns can be heard and expressed and you have an outlet. But the truth is they're going to choose to do what they're going to choose to do. They're going to choose to run their home the way they choose to. And you are going to choose to run your home the way you choose to. And as long as our kids are minors, and even if it's necessary, supported by, you know, legal, orders, we can say, you know what, I know that you don't agree with it, but there's a reason why I have the rules for my house that I do. And you are my child. And so I'm just going to ask you to respect that when you're here. It's okay if you don't agree with me, but I'm responsible before the Lord to raise you the best of my ability. And so that's what I'm going to do. Now, when they become 18, now they have a choice, right? If they're going to come to our house or not, if they're going to be in relationship with us or not, and things like that. That's the scarier part. They don't like the rules at our house, so they may not choose to come there. And that's where building that, or maintaining and building that relationship with our children is really important, that even if we disagree, we can still respect each other. And that's really, really key. And so what I would encourage this caller to do is to focus on building positive relationship with his daughter, however he can, to give permission to her, even saying in your mom's house, she's going to have different rules. Those are that I don't believe that. And I, in good conscience, can't live that way. And I understand that you may decide to make some choices based on that. But I love you. I want a healthy relationship with you. And I'm going to continue to fight for that and invest in that.
Right. And maybe possibly just on, that's a great answer. I think that God loves you and that he, my daughter the other day said she was going to think about Jeremiah 29:11. She said, you know, God loves you, has a plan for your life. And the idea of God knows what's best for you. Sleeping with your boyfriend at 18 is not the best for you. And so I can't control what mom's doing in her house, but that's not going to happen here.
Right.
And Terry Stewart, our general manager.
How about the reverse question? You have a dad or a mom who has a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and you live far apart, and they want to come and visit, and they want to stay in your home.
And you're an adult child?
Yes. Well, you're married.
The parents want
to. Yeah. A Christian home, and the in-laws or outlaws, however you want to look at it.
Yeah.
It's a reverse.
It's the reverse, and it's challenging, right?
I've had calls about that.
Oh, okay. That's
yeah, it is. It's those dynamics are really hard.
Let them sleep together in their own bedroom, or separate them, or let them carry out.
And that's and really, it comes down to each individual relationship and family, and what you're going to choose to do. And as an adult child, I can go before the Lord and say, okay, God, is this something that I need to manage in my own home, or is this something that my parents is accountable to you for their actions? I'm not, and so I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna just love them where they're at. So there, that really comes down, and from my perspective, that really comes down to my own relationship with the Lord and what is God guiding and directing me to do with that.
Here is another listener choosing not to go on the air. Says a listener is a grown-up stepchild. Her situation is that her father is very involved with his wife's grandchildren, but not involved with his own children's children. So wanted to bring to people's attention that step families go even further than just the immediate family.
Very true. And that's kind of what I mentioned at the beginning is you know, there's all these ripple effects. We can draw these concentric circles of how far out this goes. And that's a really good example of that. And there's a lot of pain there because with the biological child feeling like my father is rejecting me and my own children in favor of choosing this other family. And so it can, there's a lot of pain and struggle.
Let's go to a caller. Hi, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name's Kelly Schaefer. I'm calling from Curtis.
Hey, Kelly, go ahead. Near Wausau, right?
Yeah, out that way.
All right.
My question is sort of along those lines of the extended family, because my sister is married again, and so I have two bloodline nieces and then a step niece and nephew.
Okay.
And I find myself sort of going through reactive attachment towards them.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of fighting right now.
Mm.
And there's a lot of angst in the second marriage. And the first marriage, there's still a lot of bitterness. And so we actually have no contact with her former husband and family because of the bitter way that the marriage ended. And it makes it so hard in trying to be a support to my nieces as they're struggling about where to live and what to do because they're now 18 and 20. And then my other niece and nephew, I just don't even know how to relate to them because my stepbrother-in-law, or however I would term that, my sister's second husband, has been so vindictive towards my sister and has, you know, cut her off from parenting his children, and you know, they're still together, but I struggle. I'm like, so I'd be glad to hear some resources to go to hear, you know, other people's stories and how they do that, because I just don't know how to deal with that.
Thank you for sharing this. Yeah, it's super painful and really hard, and when we watch somebody get hurt, it's hard to not want to protect them. It's hard to not take that on ourselves. It's hard to not transfer that over, those same emotions onto other people. And as far as with the step niece and nephew, my encouragement would be to, as much as possible, separate the emotion that you have about their parent and really just try to know them and love them to the best of your ability for who they are and where they're at. And they have the least amount of power probably in this dynamic that's going on. And so they're struggling in their own way, I would assume. And so you may have a totally different relationship with them than you do with your biological niece and nephew. But my encouragement would be just look for ways to love them. One resource, smartstepfamily.com, Ron Deal's website, Dori Pulsa, stepfamilyrx.com are some great places to start by reading through material and additional helps too.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. And I'm going to, at the website, put when we put the podcast up with that, I'll list all the different books. We've recommended probably half a dozen or more books and the website and give you access to that. So check that podcast this afternoon. Again, the close of your talk, Leanne Gumalauskas, had to do with the power of prayer. And we don't want to sell that short. But again, in all these situations, be praying for your ex-spouse and all. It's messy and complicated
out there. It's messy and complicated, and we still have a miracle-working God. So
Amen.
Pray.
Thank you so much, Leanne. She does great work, and you can actually make an appointment with her or the team of counselors at the Clinic for Christian Counseling at 505 South Dewey Street in Eau Claire, Suite 208. That's cccwi.org, CCC, three C's, three, WI.org, okay?